Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week. Years ago, there was a show on TV called Mystery Science Theater 3000. Not sure where they got the 3000. It started as a local TV show in the 80s. I believe it was a local Minneapolis affiliate. And eventually the show made it to Comedy Central. Does anybody remember this show? A couple of us do. The premise of the show is commentary, snarky commentary on old silly science fiction movies from the 50s and the 60s. So when you're watching the show, you are placed in a movie theater. There are seats in front of you. And you are sitting behind some characters themselves. I think there's a robot, and I can't remember who else is in the rows in front of you. And these characters are making wise side cracks and sound effects as the movie is playing. It was a very funny show because they brought out kind of the silly subtext that wasn't spoken. Now, that show I don't think is running anymore, but not far from here, in Imesville, Maryland, my family is treated to its own version of Mystery Science Theater. Because when my kids are watching an adventure show, or especially a superhero movie, and I walk into the room, I am able, free of charge, to provide them with the same kind of background commentary in real time while the movie is running. I do imaginary side comments between characters. I bring out unspoken subtext. I do sound effects and voices. You would think that this kind of creativity would be appreciated. But strangely, that is not always the case. Occasionally, I will get a smile or a good laugh, but I've also noticed that one of my kids might accidentally hit the pause button until I leave the room. It's happened. Well, one comment I made one day was not a funny comment per se, but it was an experiment because I had seen so many superhero movies in my life. In the movie, a superhero died a tragic death. There was somber music, and all the other superheroes and the aliens were gathered around very sad in their green skin and their big hair and ears and whatever. And I don't remember what superhero movie it was, but I figured that this was the superhero character of the movie that died. And I thought, they usually don't end this way. So I made some comment about let's start a stopwatch to see how long it is before they come back to life. And sure enough, the superhero sprang back to life through the magic of Hollywood in less than 5 minutes. It might have been less than 2 minutes, actually. Now, how did I know that was coming? It's because we don't like our superheroes to die in the movies. It is not allowed for the bad guy to win and oppress humanity and then flash up the end at the movie, right? We want to know that the good guys and the good women win and that life will go on. We want to know this. Dr. Jeffrey Kripal is a scholar of religion and philosophy at Rice University in Texas, and he wrote a book that touches on this. It's called Mutants and Mystics, Science Fiction, Superhero Comics, and the Paranormal. I've heard him talk about science fiction and superheroes, and one of the things he says as he's talking about his book and this topic is that his belief is this: we have such a strong emphasis in our society on what is called scientific materialism, the idea that this world is this what we can touch with our and know through our senses, that's all there is. And we have a strong emphasis on that, having that emphasis and so doing, we have become anti-spiritual as a society. So anti-spiritual, in fact, that we now create and rely upon fiction and superhero genres as a safe place where we can actually act out a kind of mythical side of us and spiritual side of us where we fantasize about miracles and overcoming the laws of nature and overcoming death. And since it's all fiction, we can then turn around and say, oh yeah, of course I don't care about any of that stuff. Life after death, people coming back to life again, come on. Truth of the matter is, in real life, when it comes to suffering and overcoming and death, we really do care. We care a lot. And maybe we wish we could be in a movie sometimes where the rules don't apply. We really do care about whether or not this life is the end. And that's not new. The people of Jesus' day and age cared too. And we read in the scriptures, so did Jesus. In the Gospel of John, we read about a time when a man named Lazarus dies. He is a part of a family that Jesus loves. Despite that fact, the fact that it means for Jesus to go visit them means going back into a part of the country where the rabbis have just tried to recently kill him, Jesus wants to go and console them. He wants to console the family and demonstrate also God's power over life and death, which he will do in a very powerful and potent way. We're going to meet the story in the middle of the narrative in John 11:17, where we find that when Jesus arrived in this area, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary, Lazarus's family, to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him while Mary stayed at home. And Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Well, your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "Well, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." Well, today our emphasis continues to be on the I am sayings of Jesus. I believe we're finishing up that series today. And Jesus here says, "I am," and then follows that with the resurrection and the life. It appears from this passage that by this point in Jewish history, that many people believe that there will be some day of resurrection when those who have passed away are raised to new life. There is disagreement on this point. The Pharisees believe something like this. The group called the Sadducees that we also meet in the New Testament do not believe in a resurrection from the dead, but Martha does believe. What Jesus does is, as when he raises Lazarus from the dead, which he will go on to do, is he commands and demonstrates in this passage that he has command over the timeline of life and death itself. There will be, in the following verses, a very dramatic resurrection where he literally calls Lazarus out of the tomb after he has been dead for 4 days, and he comes out wrapped in the burial cloths. Pretty amazing. And when the gospel tells us this story about this miracle with this "I am" saying, we're reminded that Jesus is more than a rabbi. He's more than a miracle worker. He's even more than the Jewish Messiah. When Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life" in John 11, we can hear echoes of, again, I've been saying it every week, John chapter 1, where John tells us about the Word, this primordial existence of Christ as God and with God. We read in John 1, "In the beginning was the Word," capital W, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people." So many of Jesus's "I am" sayings share vocabulary with this prologue in the first chapter of the gospel. And again, we see it. Jesus shows us, John chapter 11, he is the one who has power over life and death. He is the Messiah, but he is life itself. He, whatever gives or creates or sustains life, he is that. It's a big thought, this idea of Jesus as the Word of God, and the Word of God itself was a deep philosophical concept to the Greeks. And John links and he roots Jesus' identity in that. I think one of the more interesting moments in our passage for today is as he offers this revelation of who he is to Martha, he ends this saying, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die." He ends it with, "Do you believe this? I am the resurrection and the life. If those who believe in me aren't going to die, they're going to live. Do you believe this?" It's an interesting question, right? Do you believe it? We want to believe it. I want to argue again that human beings believe it at a very deep level. If we didn't, why would we care if superheroes die in movies? You could have lots of movies where superheroes died bravely and everybody just said, well, he lived a good life. Good job fighting crime, superhero. Sorry that the underwater Hydra monster with the 12 arms got you, but you fought well. The end. That could be the norm for every superhero or science fiction movie, but none of that, literally none of them end that way unless there's a sequel where they come back to life in the sequel. Because intuitively, we believe as human beings that death is not the end of the story. And that's what Jesus is telling Martha. It's not the end of the story. And he is the pathway to resurrection. And then he says, do you believe this? And he's asking us, through the gospel, do you believe this? Martha believes and something powerful happens. Lazarus is raised from the dead. Today we can believe and something equally powerful can happen, an inner resurrection where we are resuscitated as human beings into something new, something good. As I said in the Declaration of Pardon, the old life is gone, a new life has come. This is the new life. This is the source of life. It happens as we place our faith in Christ. New life happens as we place our faith in Christ. That is an inner resurrection. Scholar Dale Bruner tells us that the ancient church father Augustine is convinced, with all, he says, the great doctors of the church through the centuries, that simply believing in Christ places Christ in the believer. And that little word for in Greek is a little, it's just a two-letter word, I can picture it, but it can also mean into. So Bruner plays with that as well, that simply believing into Christ places Christ into the believer. It can mean both things. But he says it's that uncomplicated. For if there is faith in us, Christ is in us. If there is faith in us, Christ is in us. Believing in Christ places Christ into the believer. And that places the promise of the resurrection into the believer because Christ is the resurrection and the truth and the life. So see if you want to cancel your HBO Max subscription now or Disney. You can. You don't have to, but you can. We have this inner hope. We don't need to project it on into science fiction and other genres. We can, but we don't have to. We can hold this as a first-person hope that we have. A first-person hope. Is it just theological talk? Is it something that preachers just say? Or is it real, this idea of the resurrection? Well, some of you have heard me tell the story of my former neighbor, Jeff, who died but is still alive today. When Jeff was in his, I think, late 30s, early 40s, he collapsed while jogging in our neighborhood of a massive heart attack. Miraculously, a nurse was driving by, saw him go down, and rendered aid and started applying CPR. Now, permanent brain damage in humans can occur in 4 minutes without oxygen. Jeff was not breathing and had no pulse for 18 minutes. He was medically, verifiably gone from this world, but he was revived. Jeff and his family are Catholic Christians, and shortly after his recovery, he came to visit St. Andrew's. I think their kids may have been involved in VBS. And so his kids participated, and they came for the celebration. Now, I have 2 degrees in religion, which I got to tell you, you can make a buck with that. But I have these 2 degrees, right? And I'm an ordained Presbyterian minister. My point about that is I am curious about these things. I am curious about these topics. And I had not really seen Jeff since his recovery. So I went to greet him after the service, and we were talking, and I didn't want to intrude, but I wanted to know. And finally, I stopped beating around the bush, and I said, Jeff, I said, you were gone. You came back. I said, I hope I'm not intruding, but what was that like for you? He wasn't at all offended. He was calm. He seemed serene and peaceful, and he started to describe the experience, and then he stopped, and then he started again, and he stopped, and he tried to wrap words around something for which I figured out later there really was no language. So finally, he stopped trying to describe the experience and looked me in the eye and said with this all-encompassing sense of serenity, ease, and calm, he said, "Dan, it's not scary. It's not scary." Jeff believed in Christ, and he caught a glimpse of the resurrection and the life. Jesus asks us today, do you believe this? It may be that when we watch movies or read books that play out the scenarios of life and death, that we are really wanting to express our hope and our belief too. That like Martha, yes, we do believe in the resurrection, that this life, that this physical life is not the final word, that there is an inner resurrection. Jesus wants to know from us, do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? And if the answer is yes, then we are putting our belief in Christ, and that puts Christ in us. And the life we receive in us lives on forever. May we pray. Lord, when we look out into our divided and chaotic and violent world, where there is so much physical and spiritual death, we long for resurrection. As we express our belief and trust in Christ this morning, place his life in us and let it shine for others to see, that they might be drawn to it and encouraged by it. We place our trust in you in life and death, and we come before you in the name of Jesus this morning. Amen.